السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك، اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. We praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send peace and blessings on His most noble of creation, the noble messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in our journey to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His remembrance, to open our hearts to His guidance, to make our hearts receptive of the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed from above the seventh heavens to have an impact on our hearts. Words that came as a blessing and a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to us through one of the greatest, if not the greatest, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rahmatul lil alameen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us His companionship and the companionship of His Sahaba, because we are far removed chronologically by centuries from Him, yet we love Him, we believe in Him without having seen Him. As He said, I would love to see my brothers. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us the title of brothers. He said, those who believe in me without seeing me. So just for that, we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, that just use that, because we have no deeds on which to stand on. And we see these tragedies every day, as have been mentioned, of our dear friends and companions who are passing away from one reason or another, COVID being one of those excuses. And inshallah, after the session, we will do dua for all of them. Again, a reminder for myself and for all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, that our sessions of Quran are a reminder for each other. I am no scholar. This is first a reminder for me that what we learn, we take from the sources, the original sources, the accepted ulama, the accepted interpretations, that we internalize them and we put them into action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to act on what He commands. He asks us to act on what He prohibits. So without action, these are empty words. In fact, they become evidence against us on the Day of Judgment. And there is some reference to that in today's halaqah. So again, the reminder that we take the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very seriously. We analyze our lives with that standard. Where do I stand? Because one day, just like our friends are leaving, we will be leaving and we will see everything, what we sent forward and what we left behind. Today we embark on another Makkan surah, early Makkan surah, which is Surah Al-Infitar. And in one narration, the Prophet ﷺ asked Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he was making long recitations at Isha time and people complained that they were tired, the Prophet ﷺ had asked him to recite surahs like Ash-Shams or Duha, and in one narration, Surah Infitar. So this is one of those surahs. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said that anyone who wants to see with their own eyes Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, should read these surahs. Surah Takwir, Surah Infitar, Surah Inshiqaq, all within next to each other. And we've covered Surah Takwir before. So we start with the surah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إذا السماء انفطرت. الله سبحانه وتعالى says إذا السماء انفطرت. And as we said before, that the surahs that start with these إذا, when such and such thing happens, these are shurut, these are conditions. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts something with this, with a shart, after this shurut will be jawab of shart. Okay. Of what happens when these conditions are fulfilled. So the first condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ. Sama, everybody knows by now, is what we see as the skies, or we call it the first heaven, in which all of the stars and galaxies and exist, the planets. So this is the lowest of the heaven, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, that Allah has decorated the heavens of the earth, the first sky out of seven, with all of what we know of the universe, 14.4 or 14.6 billion light years across that we know, the known universe, and all the galaxies in there, which are billions and trillions and trillions, everything, and it gives us a sense of permanency, because we see this day after day, every day, and people have seen this for decades, for centuries, for millennia. It has looked the same since Allah created it. Yet the one who created it did create it because it didn't exist before. Allah was alone, there was no creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He created the heavens and the earth, fi sittati ayyam, in six of His ayyam, days. And we're not going to go into what days mean because we've talked about it before. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created what we call the heavens. So here we are talking about the heavens that we look above and always see perfect. Elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the skies and do you see, in Surah Mulk, do you see any defects in it? Do you see any tears in it? Do you see any irregularities in it? And the obvious answer is no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, keep looking for any deficiencies, any faults, and your gaze will get fatigued, will come back to you, and you won't find any defects. So we are seeing this. It is, if you could compare it to, if you're in a huge tent, so you're looking at the ceiling of the tent made of fabric, which is perfect, with nothing that is torn. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when that perfect sky, that perfect fabric is torn, there is a violent implication of infatarat, something that's torn apart. It's like a fabric that's torn apart. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about the skies being torn apart before. So if you could imagine that you are in a tent and you see nothing beyond it, and then suddenly violently this thing is torn, and then everything that was beyond becomes seen. The unseen becomes seen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the skies, in their perfect structure as He created them, one day they have a lifespan, they will be torn apart and gone. And when that fabric is torn, everything that's suspended from it, the lamps of the tent, will then fall and scatter and break. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the second condition, the second shart, وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ تَثَرَتْ. Kawakib is the plural of kawkab, which are these bright stars. Elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word nujum. We've heard so about nujum, which is another word for stars. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when the skies are torn apart or cleft asunder, and all the stars, kawakib, multitude, and we have no idea what this, in one word, the trillions and trillions of stars and planets and galaxies, everything will be scattered, will lose their perfect orbits that they are in. See how perfect we can, we the scientists tell us how perfectly the system is working. We know exactly when the Earth goes around the moon. We know exactly what happens on Jupiter. We know exact, and it's very predictable when the moon comes, when it sets, when the sun, all of that perfection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in and had put it when he created it, one day it will end. And the stars will be just flying around in the dark, because elsewhere in the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everything will be dark. So you will be, you know, if you could hear the missiles firing in the dark, you know, going by, and these are not going to be little bullets, they're going to be stars. So it gives you an idea of fear. There's no place to run. It gives you a fear of, it gives you a sensation of panic, of anxiety, that everything that all of humanity has ever known is going to be disrupted. And this is what's going to happen on the earth, in the heavens. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us back to our little piece of speck of dust, which is called the earth. What will be happening here? And as we already know, that the major portion, 70 to 80% of this earth, is covered with water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what's going to happen on the water and what's going to happen in the land. Okay. He says, shart number three, third condition. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. Bihar, from Bahar. Everybody knows Bahar is ocean. Bihar, the oceans, the seas. Fujirat. We had Fujirat before. Fujirat means like an explosion, like something that breaks through. Okay. In the previous surah we had said, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, that the oceans, the seas, will be set ablaze. Here it says Fujirat, which could mean explode or overrun the land. Means they go beyond their limits. So both of those are possible. You can combine that there are explosions in the water. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could separate, I'm just giving you an example, the hydrogen from the oxygen. And then the hydrogen explodes. What would that produce compared to the hydrogen bombs we have today? The oceans would explode. And they would overrun the earth, you know, like the tsunamis. We have seen graphic pictures of that a few years ago, that 40-foot and 100-foot waves come and take everything with them. That is the Fujirat, the explosion of the oceans. They go beyond their bounds. What else happens on the earth? What's left on the earth is the land. That the land will be shaken, as we heard. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. It will be shaken violently in its ultimate earthquake, not limited to one area, not limited to Chile or to Turkey or to Iran, the whole earth. And it's not going to be a 6.8, it's going to be the ultimate on the Richter scale, where the Richter scales would fail. Shaken to the degree that the mountains are leveled, they become dust. With that shaking, what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the fourth condition. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. قُبُور, plural of qabr. Wherever a person was buried, wherever the remains were, whether it was under the ocean, whether it was under the land, whether it was scattered in a urn after being cremated, wherever they are, they will be overturned. They will be just like you turn it over, it comes out. That those graves will be opened. And what will happen by the opening, as we are told? Suddenly, from whatever remains, the atoms of that person remain, everything will be brought together and they will stand up. Suddenly. Wherever they were. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us will happen. And this is where the kuffar of Makkah had the biggest problem. They couldn't accept this as being true. They said, how can it be when we become dust and bones that we can be brought back to life and then have the judgment? So we are not, this, we are done, we are done. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a very simple argument elsewhere in the Quran. He says, is it harder to bring you back from your remnants, or was it harder to bring you from nothing? You were nothing. Was it easier to create you the first time, or is it easier to create you the second time? Simple argument. So it will happen. So those are the four conditions. The skies are gone. The stars are gone. The oceans are exploding. The earth is shaken and turned over so that everyone is thrown out of the earth. Four conditions. Now comes the jawab of shart. For each one, you can say, what will happen after that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the next ayah, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Now, we said that each one of those four conditions is very, very scary. It's very scary. It's very serious. But look at what comes next. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ. That every nafs, every human being, every soul, عَلِمَتْ will know. Will know to what degree? In every detail. مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. In simple translation, what he or she has sent ahead and what he or she has left behind in this world. Do you think this is scary? This, in my opinion, is more scary than the previous ones. Because that's happening elsewhere. Now the question is, I am scared because everything else is being destroyed, but my memory of everything is being restored so that everything I did is now clear. And what does that mean? Now I remember everything that I have to account for. Every word is clear. Every hope is clear. Every action is clear, good or bad. So any sin that we have done, even if we have done a lot of good, any sin, even if it is minor, is going to cause so much fear and panic, because Day of Judgment that we promised is here. What will happen to me? And as we said in the previous surah, at this point the person would be so consumed by themselves that they will not think of anyone else. They'll be running. فِرُّ مِنْ أُمِّهِ وَأَبِي وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ كُلُّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. If you remember from the last one. Everyone on that day will be so preoccupied, so concerned, so fearful of their own things, that they will have no concern for anyone else. So this is the jawab of shart, is the one that's causing the scare. I mean, that's happening to him. Now my concern comes. Alimat nafsum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered all of that information to me. Not just in my book that will be hanging, but I remember now, it's become clear. Even if when I was young and even I had forgotten, I mean, no matter how young and how strong and how brilliant you are, you forget some things. Oh, I forgot I had done such and such thing. Everything will be brought back, and that's really scary. That's why that's something that needs to be taken care of, so that my anxiety on that day is limited, because everything that I had done, as far as I knew, I had rectified it. I had returned every loan. I had, you know, asked for forgiveness from everyone, for every word. If I had cheated anyone, I had rectified that. I had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. I had done my tawbah for everything. That's why it's also a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you think, when you're reminded of some sin that you committed, that you had forgotten, this is Allah reminding you of that so that you can clear it now. And sometimes, like some of us, when we stand on Arafah, suddenly things come to our mind that we had completely forgotten. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy to remind us, you forgot that sin that you never did tawbah for, Now I'm reminding you so you can clear it right now. So, alimat nafsum ma qaddamat. The word ma means everything. It's open. Okay, no restriction for anything. Ma qaddamat wa akharat. Now, qaddamat means to send forward, and akharat means to leave behind. Now, there are many interpretations, the simplest one of which is that this refers to your good deeds that you have done that are sent forward. It means you do good deed, it's done. Now, where is it? It has been recorded for your future. Every bad deed that has been done, where is it? It's over. No, it has been recorded and sent forward. Okay. Similarly, so every opportunity that you and I had to do good, we availed of it, it was sent forward. If we didn't avail of a good opportunity and we left it behind, that is one way of looking at akharat, that you will look back, oh, I had that opportunity. The adhan was called and I didn't get up. There was a need for charity, I didn't do it. There was this good deed I could have done to help my family, I didn't do it. Means I left it behind and therefore I have regret. So that works both ways. Also, qaddamat and akharat means in some that what came before, like what we did in our early lives, as opposed to what we did in the akhir, in the last part of our lives. Okay, that you will know what you did in your early life and what you did in your late life. So, and it can work both ways. For example, a person could have been very righteous and pious and strong Muslim in their youth, and then as they grew older, they became careless. Okay, so that's a bad situation. On the other hand, somebody may not have been a good, you know, practicing abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ignoring many of the things, including faraid, in their youth and the young early years. But later on, Allah gave them tawfiq and they came into Islam properly as they should. So their akharat becomes better than their qaddamah. So it works both ways. So that's another way of looking at it. At the early stage of my life, the late stage of my life, what I did, the deeds that I've sent forward, the deeds that were left behind. Also, the things that you send forward are your deeds. What you leave behind also can be good and bad. For example, when we pass, you leave behind a family that's very obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've left that behind. There are masajids left behind that you helped, you donated to and built. So that's akharat, which will continue to benefit you. Similarly, if you did something wrong and left it behind, you started a haram business, and then you left, but your family continued to develop that into more and more haram, all of that is going to be hanging from your neck, because that's your akharat. So we have to look at all of those things, of what we send forward, what we leave behind. And that's something that we should reflect on. What have I done in my early life? What am I doing now? What do I propose to do or plan to do going forward? Also, have I left enough good behind? Have I sent enough good forward? All of those, and to fix those. So that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that there is definitely a day of judgment, and you will know it, and you will know it so well that when it's presented to you, you cannot deny it, because your memory is going to be crystal clear. So after this portion of highlighting some of the physical events of the Day of Judgment and the emotional state of each of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, you know, you should be planning for this. You should be getting ready for this meeting with your Rabb. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a beautiful way says, in the next ayah, he says, يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O insan. And as we said, when you say insan, generally it means individuals, not collective, nas. Insan. And as we said, insan, one of the roots of insan is nasiya, to forget. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, in a way, giving us a subtle hint, ishara, that, O you forgetful man, مَا غَرَّكَ, what has deceived you, what has lured you away, what has made you heedless or careless or not connected, بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't use the word Allah, that what has made deceived you from Allah, because Allah is the creator. The word Rabb has a relationship of the creator and the created, the abd and the ma'bud, the worshipper and the worshipped. Okay, rububiyyah, the rabb, when Allah uses, is a relationship, that we had a relationship. I created you, I was your khaliq, but I'm telling you that I am your rabb, I am your caretaker, I am your provider, I'm involved in your life all the time. We have this beautiful relationship from my side. Where is the beautiful relationship from your side? You have forgotten who is your provider, who is your creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then qualifies that being your Rabb by saying Al-Kareem. He is not just your Rabb, but he is the most generous of providers, the most generous of caretakers, the most generous of protectors, the most generous of providers, that you have the best Lord. You are lucky to be his slave, and yet you forget. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, in a, you could use the word sort of, it's like a form of a complaint, but don't use that word for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh mankind, what has taken? And Allah already knows. Obviously, we know the answer. What has taken us away from him? It is shaitan who has taken us away from him. It's our own desires, our nafs, lower desires, that have taken us away. Getting too preoccupied with the dunya, wanting the dunya, dunya has taken us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, in other words, that's not what you should be doing. You should be coming back to your Rabb and preparing for that meeting with your Rabb. So who is this Rabbika al-Kareem? Alladhi khalaqaka fasawwaka fa'adalak. He is the one, khalaqaka, who created you from nothing, who created you from base fluid, who created you in three layers of darkness, who fed you in the womb of your mother, who brought you out helpless, who helped you to grow, who gave love to you through your parents, and so on and so forth, and made you grow strong. All along, every day, every moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sustained us and made us grow. خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ. He portioned you in the best way, فَعَدَلَكَ, and in the most balanced of proportions. He shaped you, فَسَوَّاكَ, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, in a balanced way. Because everything that Allah has made has a balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He created the heavens and earth in balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes are in balance, you know. He has rahmah and He has ghadab. Allah forgives and He punishes. Everything is in balance. You know, there is hot, there is cold. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put justice and injustice, you know. There is a balance of everything, and He made us into the most balanced of His creations. He proportioned us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that I am that same Lord from who you are disconnecting, the one who created you and proportioned you and gave you everything. The way you think, the way you speak, the way you look, everything is, if you want to use the word, individually sculpted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, individual characteristics, individual genetic peptides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put these together for you. Fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakkabak. He put you together. Rakkabak means something that you connect and put together. You know, like we have, what are these? Lego blocks. Rakkabak, he put them together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he put you together. Where to put the eyes, where to put the ears, where to put the nose, where to put the heart, where to put the liver. He put you together. You know, bring your parts and put them together perfectly. Fi ayyi suratin, the way he wanted. Ma sha'a rakkabak, the way he did. The way he wanted. He made your suwar, your form. Not just your face, your facial features, the proportions, how everything is put together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that these are all of his blessings, that we owe gratitude for every part of our body, for every cell of our body, every emotion that Allah created. See what happens when emotions become imbalanced. You know, whether it's depression, whether it's anxiety, whether it's OCD, whether it's all of these things. See what happens even worse when the spiritual aspect gets imbalanced, when people start doubting and denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they start putting partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a balance, and he's reminding us of that, that everything you have in the realm of as a being, as a creation of Allah, is from him. Kalla bal tukadhibuna bid-deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, but you tukadhibun, you deny, you belie, you falsely negate. Now, what are the things that people negate? Starting number one, negation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his existence. Negation of his tawheed by shirk. Negation of his kalam, of his revelations, by saying this is the words of Satan or Majnoon. Negation of his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam by saying that he is a kahin, he is a Majnoon, he is a sha'ir. All of these denials have been mentioned elsewhere in the Quran. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you deny a deen. Tukadhibuna deen. Now generally when we use the word deen, we call it a way of life. But the word deen originally comes from dana. Dan means alone. Ayatuddain. Alone. What is it? What is the meaning, significance of alone? That you have taken a certain thing which needs to be returned exactly, precisely. That there is precision in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which needs to be repaid, for example, by obedience. Repayment of the eyes by obedience of the eyes. Repayment of the tongue by good words and truth. Repayment of the body by obedience, and so on and so forth. Repayment of the parents by obedience and honoring of them. Repayment for the children by bringing them up, their tarbiyah, in the best way, and teaching them the deen. That this is, and therefore that becomes accountability. That's why this, the word deen, is sometimes in some translation that you deny the judgment. What is the judgment? It's a day of reconciling your actions with what was given to you. That's a judgment. And if you fix all of those, that is your way of life. Okay. Every aspect of your life should be balanced. Your body has a right, as the hadith says, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your spouse has a right. You know, Allah has a right. And so on and so forth. And give your right to everyone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you deny that. You act in a way as if there is no judgment. So you are acting even though you say, yes, Day of Judgment, we talk about it and we joke about it and so on and so on. That it's not a joke, as we've seen before. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you deny all of those things, and one of the biggest thing that makes you forget, you know, what makes, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked that question, the rhetorical question, O insan, O you forgetful man, what has made you lured away or forgetful or deceived from your Lord? Here is the answer in another way. One of the biggest reason is you don't truly believe that there is a day of judgment. Therefore, you are heedless of the one in front of whom you will stand. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ. And indeed, إِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ, right on top of you, closely watching you, عَلَيْكُمْ لَ, for تَأْكِيد, حَافِظِينَ. حَافِظِينَ, this refers to the angels, the recording angels. Why are they called حَافِظِينَ? Because sometimes we have the concept of guardian angels. That these angels that Allah is now going to mention further are guarding your deeds. You know, whatever you do, you know, قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ is in their records. They are the guardians. They will keep it and protect it. Nothing is going to be lost. Nothing is going to be neglected. So they are doing the hifadha, the protection. They are the security guards of your deeds, good and bad. And the inna, as we said before, is for removal of doubt. Without doubt, indeed, you know, there are guardians on you. You don't see them. They are on your right and on your left, as the hadith tells us. And what are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these angels by saying, kiraman katibin. First of all, he gives their character. Kiraman. You remember that from last surah? Kiraman barara. Also talking about the angels who carry the revelation. Kiraman. Honored. Honorable. No mistakes. No abandoning of their duty. No bribery. Honest. Honorable. Kiraman, the ones who are recording are kiraman. Nobody can say that they fell asleep on the job. They lost some of your deeds. They recorded wrongly. They were biased against you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first gives their characteristic. Kiraman, katibin. The way it is put, katibin is in Arabic grammar called ism maf'ul, which means not just, they're continuously recording. The honorable angels, you can translate that as, upon you are honorable angels who are continuously recording and protecting your deeds to be presented on the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that nothing that you do is going to go unnoticed. And he could have stopped there, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stresses the point further. In the next ayah, he says, يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفَعَلُونَ. They know, the recording angels, مَا, again, مَا, open, everything, تَفْعَلُونَ, that you do. And we mentioned before the difference between تَفَعَلُونَ and تَعْمَلُونَ. عَمَل generally involves intention and you planning. تَفَعَلُونَ is everything that you do, automatically, with intention, without it. They know everything that you do, every blink of the eye, every gaze, every movement of the finger, everything that goes, yet they don't know your intention, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who knows the intention. Their job is to record. They're seeing the record. They're seeing the record. Sometimes, as we have in the hadith, they see or hear something, they don't know how to record it, and they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant said this, record it for him exactly like that, and I will give him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one, so when these deeds will come on the Day of Judgment, they will bring everything, and there may be volumes of good deeds, Yet what can happen if the intention, because they're only recording what they're seeing externally, the salah is being done. They don't know if you are doing salah to show people, impress people. They are recording salah done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us elsewhere in the Quran that the deeds of some people will be made habam mumbatha, just like scattered dust. Why? Because the intention wasn't right. So the only one, the greater guardian, Allahu khairun hafidha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, that He is a greater, better, you know, guardian, protector of your deeds, because He knows what the angels don't know, which was the intention behind it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway is telling us that everything that you do, how you look, how you speak, what you're hearing, what you're doing, how you're spending your time alone, in darkness, in daylight, in company, in public, private, everything is known to them. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this is a recording system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. How it is sent forward. They have this and it will be presented to you on the Day of Judgment, which is forward for us in time. Okay. So all of your deeds are being, if you will, forwarded. And we know that concept very well these days. In our current terminology, we forward messages, we forward emails, we forward things. We have sent, once we forward it, there is no getting it back. So we have to be careful of what we forward of our deeds. Just like we are, should be careful of what we forward on our WhatsApp and emails and all of that. Now, what is going to be the consequence of this? The Day of Judgment is established. Every person knows what they have done already in their hearts and in their minds. And then the angels have all the records. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are only two destinations. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Indeed, the abrar will be in joyful bliss. Na'im. Na'im means something that's gives you a lot of joy and pleasure. Bliss. In, again for ta'kid, certainly. Who? Abrar. Who are the abrar? The plural of bir, righteousness. Abrar, people who are the righteous. Now in the previous surah which we had done, one of the characteristics of the angels was what? Kiraman. Barara. Remember, honorable angels, barara. Righteous. The word barara, when it's used in Arabic, it's for jama of takthir, of when there's a lot of them, because all the angels are like that. And abrar, when there are few of them, because of human beings, not everyone is from the people of bir, of righteousness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses terms that have other meanings to tell us that not everybody meets this criteria, this label of abrar. Okay? There will be few righteous people, and these righteous people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, certainly, when the deeds are there, they've already been, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already certified all of that. You know, there is no people to gather to certify whether it's correct or wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows, but He has set up this system of witnesses in judgment. They will be in bliss. And they will have some inclination of that ahead of time. Why? Because in their graves already, before the Day of Judgment, they will be seeing their place in Jannah. They will be feeling the breeze of Jannah, smelling the sweetness of Jannah. So they have a preview of what's coming ahead. So when they are both around, when the graves are overturned, they already will be feeling good. They will not feel the same panic and anxiety as the others. And then, therefore, they will be in na'im in their graves. They will be in na'im and special honor and under the shade of Allah on the Day of Judgment. And then the na'im of the akhirah will start in the Jannah after that. That's one destination. And since there are only two, وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. And indeed, the fujar, the same word, with al-biharu fujirat, the one that exploded beyond their limits, limits sent, set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who rebelled beyond that, who not only just sinned and hid their sin, but sinned openly and challengingly and said, I am this, I don't believe. There is no, not only just inside, but they promoted and proudly presented their disbelief and proudly presented their sinful behavior, that this is right and you are wrong, like the people of Lut alayhi salam, saying that you are the sick man, Lut, and your family, and we are going to throw you out. We are the ones who are doing all the wrong things, but we say we are right. Okay. So those are the fujar. Fujar is like the extreme. If you can call them the extremists of sin and rebellion. Lafi, not just fi, in. Lafi, inna and la. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying they will be in Jahim. And Jahim is one of the names of the fiercest blazing part of Jahannam. And Jahim also has a meaning of something that's glaring at you, like a beast looking at you, you know, as your prey. And we have descriptions from the hadith that the fire will be looking at the people who are disobedient and will be wanting to grab them, just like an animal looking at its prey. Yaslawnaha yawmaddin. Yaslawnaha means they will be thrust. They will be thrust on the day of judgment into the Jahim. It's not a choice, as we say. They will be carried on their faces, dragged on the face, flung into the Jahannam. Nobody's going to go willingly, okay, don't take me, I'll walk myself. No. They will be dragged unwillingly into Jahannam. Yawmuddin, because this is the day of judgment, the day of retribution, the day where everything has to be accounted. Every ni'mah has to be balanced, has to be repaid. What did you do with this? What did you do with your life? What did you do with your youth? What did you do with the knowledge that was given to you? What did you do with the Quranic ayats that you learnt in the Quranic halqa? What did you do with the wealth? What did you do with the children I blessed you with? How did you treat the parents that I gave old age so you could serve them and earn Jannah? Every single thing. And after that, either Abrar or Yaslawnaha fi Jahannam on the Day of Judgment. And then another scary ayah, وَمَا هُمْ عَنْهَا بِغَائِبِينَ. And وَمَا هُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's an implication here that they will never be out of there, of this Jahim. غَائِب means absent from its presence, absent from its scary gaze, absent from its punishment. And that starts before Day of Judgment. As we know, it starts in the qabr with the constriction of the grave, as if the ribs are being compressed into each other, and the heat of Jahannam is felt by the soul right here, and it will continue, and the punishment of the grave till the punishment of the Day of Judgment, till the Jahim, they are entered there. This is just a preview. So they are never ghaib. They are never absent from the presence of that flame here on the Day of Judgment, because that will be when they really see it, and the Jahannam that they will be entered in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing all of these, he says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. And what would make you believe or understand or conceive the Day of Judgment, the magnitude, the severity, the length, the anxiety, the horrific situation of the young, what would make you understand? Wama adraka, and we've talked about yudrika and adraka last time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what, in other words, why can't you get it into your thick skull that it is coming? Wama, what will it take to make this a reality that you may lead your lives connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His obedience as His abd? Then it doesn't end there. Thumma, again, ma adraka ma yawmuddin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats it again. It's like a hammer on our heads over and over again. Get it into your head, get it into your head, get it into your head. Why can't you get it through? And get it through doesn't mean, yes, there is a day of judgment. Getting it through means, my life reflects that there is a day of judgment. And I'm standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ. Same as the end of Surah Abasa. People running from each other, nobody is going to help each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yawma, that is the day of judgment. La tamliku nafsun li nafsin shay'a. No one can help. Nobody has any control to help or harm you on that day. Okay? You cannot avail each other. You cannot bail out. You know, here we look when something happens, and you know, I have this connection, I have that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying there is going to be no intercession except what Allah has authorized. You can't run to the richest, you can't run to the strongest, you can do all you want, nothing is going to happen. Nobody can avail, no son will avail, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the father, and no father will avail the son, and that means mother and daughter also. This is also in Surah Luqman. Okay, nobody will give one deed to someone else, to your loved ones, who we claim all the love to. In what degree can they not help? Shay'a, not even the littlest thing. Wal amr, and the judgment, and the command, and the order, yawma idhin, on that day, lillah, belongs only to Allah. Mulukiyat, sovereignty, belongs only to Allah. Even here it belongs only to Allah, but people can contest it. They can deny it. But on that day, nobody will deny. Because you can say, doesn't it belong Allah's Malik, Malikul Mulk? Yes. But He has also allowed people to say, no, He is not. Even though in Haqiqah He is. But on that day, there will be no ability or authorization to deny that. That only the command of Allah will prevail. Only the judgment of Allah will prevail. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us through Rahmatul Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah will, wanting to forgive us, use, honor Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and some of the Anbiya and some other, you know, awliya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to intervene and say, Ya Allah, please forgive him, or give him a higher rank in Jannah. Allah already planned that, but to honor them, say, okay, you are saying, I grant it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who will be able to avail of the shafa' of the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anybody's intervention. This is one way of honoring them, that yes, because you say, I will enter them. But it is by the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this powerful surah reminds us again and again of the reality that life is coming to an end, that there is a life of the grave, there is a resurrection, there is a questioning of everything. Everything is being recorded, which is easy for us to grasp because today everything is recorded anyway, even by human beings. You know, so There are recordings and recordings and witnesses. The bodies will, parts will witness, people will witness, the earth will witness, the heavens will witness, the angels will witness. So there is no hiding. Nothing is hidden. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us as His rahmah by telling us, yes, it's going to happen. By His rahmah, that you want the reward, then the na'im, race for it, race for Jannah. If that doesn't do it for you, be scared of Jahannam, which I have described for you. And know that nobody can help you. Nobody can do anything for you. You will come to me alone. So prepare for that meeting now. And these, what we are seeing of people leaving every day, in just in this last 2 weeks, I've lost 4 or 5 people, and there are people lining up, as we know, that we will do dua for at the end of this session, lining up to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was just reflecting the other day that I have went on Hajj with some people, and 5 of my Hajj companions have already passed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the 6th one is on his way. Now that's a lot. Then I said, who else is left? Who else is left? Only 2. So we have to prepare. Now if we prepare, then we look forward to that departure. And if we prepare our families in the right way with deen, they are happy when we leave, knowing what is ahead for us. And then they continue their lives in a way that in our qubur, we are happy with what they are doing, that they are coming and Allah will unite us in Jannah. There is certainty that we will be separated here. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, that Jibreel alayhi wa sallam said to him, said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love whoever you want, one day you will be separated. Do whatever you want, one day you will see your deeds. Lead whichever way your life, you know, you will be, you know, have to answer for it. So we will be separated here. That's how Allah willed it. But it's a temporary separation because we will be joined in the Akhirah if we are righteous. Just like when our children go away for a month or 2, I just said goodbye to my daughter and granddaughters and son-in-law, sending them off to Qatar, a separation. And we are hopeful that we will meet them again, that they will return. So we look forward to that, right? Now, can you imagine looking forward to a place after which there is no separation, after which there is no death, there is no parting? So why don't we prepare for that seriously? Why don't we make our lives such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us? Why don't we keep the day of judgment in front of us as we see it? As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever wants to see the day of judgment should read these surahs. You know, At-Takwir, Al-Infitar, Inshiqaq. Read them over and over again so it becomes a reality. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to say, Ya Rasulullah, when we are with you, it is as if we can see the Jannah and we can see the Nar. Now, we are not with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to look at this. We have to read about him so that we feel we are with him, and then our iman goes up. So inshallah, with that, we will end this surah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us and embed its real meaning into our hearts so that we make the necessary changes to rectify what needs to be done so that we actually look forward to the day of judgment rather than end our deaths and our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the best of our age, you know, our lives, the last part of our lives, the best of our actions, the last action, and the best day, the day in which we meet him. Allahumma inna nas'aluka khayra al-umri آخر وخير الأمل خواتمه وخير الأيام يوم ألقاك فيه. آمين.